I don't know if you like reading. One of the things I like about holidays and Christmas in particular is it's a little bit of time to switch off. And I love reading when I switch off. One of the kind of genres I like is crime thrillers and police action stuff. And I love... today we look at them and we call them the CSI guys. Do you know the guys that go in with the scene? And they don't know what evidence they've got. They don't know who's done it. And then the CSI guys come in and they have all their little tools, don't they? And they have these special lights. I'd like one of those kind of purple lights, Ian, you know, that glows everything up. And they find all the evidence and they find out who done it because they shine the light in the right place. Well, when we think about Christmas and when we think one of the things that the Bible says about Jesus, Jesus describes himself as the light of the world. So Jesus brings his light, the light of his presence into our lives, and he brings his insight and he brings his revelation into our lives, and he shines in the places sometimes we would rather not, if we're honest. Sometimes it shows up things that we need to deal with in our lives. But with his light, he said, comes life. So I want to look at some of the words of Jesus today. If you have your Bible, it's in John chapter 12. I'm going to read some verses. I'm going to skip a little bit. John chapter 12, Jesus is having a big discussion with the Jewish religious leaders. John chapter 12, picking up at verse 37. And he's having this debate with the Jewish religious leaders. And he's done many miracles by this point. Some people are starting to believe in him, but not quite everyone. This is what John 12, verse 37 says in the New Living Translation. Despite all the miraculous signs Jesus has done, most of the people still did not believe in him. This is exactly what Isaiah the prophet has predicted. Lord, who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord been revealed? And then let's pick up at verse 42. Many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders. But they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. And in that time of Jesus, to be expelled from the synagogue meant you were ostracized from all social life, all religious life. It was like being put on a desert island. People wouldn't even speak to you or deal with you in business. The reason? For they loved human praise more than the praise of God. Jesus shouted to the crowds, "If you trust me, you're trusting not only me, but also God who sent me. For when you see me, you're seeing the one who sent me. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put in their trust in me will no longer remain in dark. I will not judge those who hear me but don't obey me. For I have come to save the world and not to judge it." I want to suggest a couple of simple things that come out from this passage and Jesus talking about him being the light of the world. Firstly, the light of Jesus reveals that not everyone is willing to believe. See, John talks about the signs, and in the whole Gospel of John, he looks at seven signs and he groups all this understanding of Jesus around these seven signs because the miracles were not magic tricks. They were there to point to Jesus. They were signs to reveal something about Jesus. And despite all the signs, the Bible records that many did still not believe in him. And I've heard people say, "Well, if I saw a miracle, I would believe." Do you know what? I'm not sure that's true. I'm not sure it's true even if we had all the evidence in the world sometimes. Because if we choose not to believe, that's often the issue. And Jesus coming and challenging us as he does and says, "I am the light of the world. You don't have to walk in darkness." That reveals actually where our heart really is. Because he calls us to believe in him. And we'll see that in a few moments. C.S. Lewis was a great writer. He also happens to be Irish, Anthony. And he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia and that whole series that have been on, made into the movies and been on television quite a lot. This is what he said. "I have to believe that Jesus was and is God. 99% of the things you believe are believed on authority. The ordinary person believes in the solar system, atoms, and the circulation of the blood on authority because the scientists say so. Every historical statement is believed on authority. None of us has seen the Norman conquest or the defeat of the Spanish Armada, but we believe them simply because people who did see them have left writings to tell us about them. You see, the miracles and the message and the ministry of Jesus are all recorded for us, and they point to his authority as the Son of God. And one of the things we encourage people is to think about Christianity, is to investigate, is to ask questions. Because while it's a matter of faith, it's not unreasonable faith. It's not a leap of faith into the unknown. It's based on solid historical evidence. Some of you will have got a book this morning, and if it's not on your particular seat, then we have more. It's Christmas in three words, and one of the words that's used in there is to say that Christmas is historical. It's based on truth. It's based on real fact. It's based on recorded history. It's not just a story for the kids, as people will often say. Why do you have Christmas? Oh, we do it for the kids. Why do you spend all that money and get into debt? Oh, we do it for the kids. But it's more than a story for the kids. It's something that's based in reality. And when Jesus says we need to trust in him, it's one of the common themes in the Gospel of John. In fact, we're commanded to believe in Jesus. We're commanded to trust. And it's not that kind of tick the box that says, well, yeah, I was brought up in Sunday school, or I remember saying the Lord's Prayer. Yeah, I kind of believe there's a Jesus. When John uses that word trust or believe, he's actually using it to mean fully lean on. All of you have shown faith when you come in this morning, when you sat down. None of you examined the chair. None of you checked to see if it was up to British standards. You all accepted immediately that that chair would hold your weight. Even the extra lockdown weight, Ron, huh? And I'm not picking on her, I'm talking to myself, Ron. We accept that when we sit down. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying to us. He wants us to lean fully on him for forgiveness, for light, for life. For you Formula One fans, there's a few around. Jesus wants to be in the driving seat. He doesn't just want to be in the cockpit or the pit lane giving us directions. Jesus actually wants to be in the driving seat of our lives. And so the challenge for us is to lean fully on him, to trust on him. Not everyone is willing to believe, but we have a personal choice in following him. The second thing, the light of Jesus reveals that we can walk in the light. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. As Amelia said earlier, for many people, Christmas is a challenge. It's not just all joy and light, is it? Sometimes it can be a time of sadness. For some people, it can be a time of despair. And did you know there's literally hundreds of people who do their tax return on Christmas Day? Do you know that? How lonely, how sad must your life be that that's how you fill Christmas Day? But you see, Jesus doesn't want us to walk in darkness. Jesus doesn't want us to walk in that loneliness. Jesus doesn't want us to walk isolated. He brings us to him, in relationship to him, and in relationship to others. And sometimes, if we're honest, we feel the pressure of having a perfect Christmas, don't we? We see the picture postcards, or we see the adverts on telly, and then we look at our lives and we think of the pressure that we put ourselves under, whether that's to buy gifts that we can't afford or to meet up with people that we don't really like. Come on, be honest, you have them too. People that you don't spend any time with the rest of the year, but when it comes to Christmas, it's a bit like my view of Brussels sprouts. If I really have to, but can we get a different recipe that maybe will work this year? Bev tried something different last year, Jimmy Oliver recipe, and I tolerated Brussels sprouts. I know, Margaret, some people like them. You see, we have this ideal and this idea of what it means to have a perfect life and to have that pressure to put on us. And sometimes we listen to our own doubts, or sometimes we hear voices in our heads that are so negative, that are so contrary to what God says. And for those of you who are our guests here, we've just done a whole series on helping us identify some of those lies in our lives, some of those strongholds, some of those things that don't actually help us live in the light. And I want you to do something. You may not be able to do it today, though you can if you have your phone. But one of the things I encourage you to do as a spiritual discipline, I've talked to many of you about it, is to have a journal. A journal where you can reflect what God's saying, what scriptures you're reading, how God's speaking to you, what you're learning, maybe even some of the areas God wants you to grow in. This is mine. I'm never going to let you read it. There's stuff in here that I definitely don't want you to read. My wife doesn't even read it unless I show her some stuff. But I want you to take your journal and I want you to think about some of the pressure you feel, some of the lies that maybe you've believed about yourself, and I want you to write them down. Things like, do you know what? I'm too scared to really be useful to God. Anyone feel frightened? Maybe that's why the Bible records 365 times, don't be afraid. Maybe the lie that you've believed was, who would want to know me anyhow? Or a little bit further, if people really knew me. I can guarantee all of us have thought that. Maybe here's one. You should be ashamed of yourself. Some of us were brought up in cultures that really just heap guilt and shame and condemnation. And if we're honest, church didn't help that either. They just piled it on more. Maybe there's another one. You're a mess. You're a failure. You're useless. You're a terrible Christian. You might as well quit now. Maybe you've heard those things or variations in your own life. And maybe for you, that's some of the darkness that you have to wrestle with. But Jesus comes as the light of the world. Jesus comes as the light of life. Jesus comes so that we don't have to walk in darkness. However secretive we keep those things, however much we wouldn't want anyone to see what we're written down, there is an opportunity for another story. There is an opportunity for another journal entry. And I want you to think about it. And I want you to write it above where you're writing those dark thoughts. Maybe it can be something like this. I'm not defined by my scars, but by His. I'm not defined by my scars, but by His. Maybe you can say, I'm not defined by my failures, but by His finished work. Because Jesus coming as a baby wasn't the end, was it? God had a work for Him to do. Maybe you need to say, I'm not defined by my weaknesses, but by the strength of God's grace. We believe in grace. We believe Jesus came full of grace and truth. Yes, He speaks truth into our life, but He leads with grace. Isn't that good to know? God loves us the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. Maybe here's another one. I'm not defined by my rejections, but by his acceptance. I like that one. My early life was defined by rejections, even by those closest to me, but I have his acceptance. I'm not defined by my shame and condemnation, but by living in his light. You see, we beat ourselves up so much, don't we? But Jesus said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, we have relationship with the Son. If we walk in the light, we don't have to walk in darkness. We can receive his forgiveness into our life. Final one. I'm defined by Christ alone. Millian Keegan brought us a song a couple of weeks ago that they'd written. It says, I'm not defined by my sickness. I'm not defined by circumstance. I'm not defined by anything around me, by my failure, by my past. I'm defined by Christ alone. It's the closing song on the stream of Sunday the 5th of December. If that's an area of darkness that you need to deal with, can I encourage you to go and listen to that again? To let that truth feed in to your soul. You see, I believe God wants us to walk in the light. It's why Jesus came. We don't have to walk in the darkness. And some of the things that we'll be doing as a church over the next couple of months, I think they're on the next couple of slides, Philip. We'll be doing kind of a whole theme for next year is building a healthy church. I want to be healthier. I need to lose some weight. Don't say anything. I need to lose some weight. I want to get healthier physically, but I want us to be healthy spiritually as a church. I want us to be healthy emotionally. And some of the things that we're going to do as part of our 21-day fast, we're going to have opportunities on Tuesday nights to come and have some times of freedom ministry and prayer. Where if there are any obstacles, if there's anything in your life that you know is not of God, that's darkness, some of those negative thoughts, then you can come and receive prayer and deal with those issues before God, because we don't have to walk in darkness. He is the light of the world. Part of that going into February, I think there's a couple more slides, Philip. Coming into February and then into March, Bev's going to be leading a course called Emotionally Healthy Women. And so you ladies can gather together. Most of them will be in person. There'll be some online as well, so that we can deal with those who are on shift work. There'll be videos that you can watch. Even if you can't make an individual night, Bev is going to ask you to sign up for that. You should have received some of that information, and there's some more information today if you haven't. I'm going to ask you to sign up, because we'll probably start a little temporary group on Signal, so that Bev can just post those videos and little reflections just for that 8-week period. And then on the Thursday nights, as men, we're going to gather together. Every week we'll gather together in person. Men will be here. And I want to take us through some of those things that will help us walk in the light, that will help us as men follow Jesus. Because God is interested in our character. God is interested in godly men who want to follow Jesus passionately. So I'm challenging all you men in 2022 to come and be part of that journey of being a healthy church, of walking in the light, of following Jesus. And we'll do that through the Gospel of Luke. And then the Friday Reflect group will pick up some of that idea of the emotionally healthy women as well. So I'm really encouraging you. This is a very practical way that we as a church are going to be determined to walk in the light. It's not airy-fairy mumbo-jumbo. It's not super spiritual. We're going to ground this stuff in everyday life for all of us. So can I encourage you to commit? Even if you've not committed to any of our small groups before, even if you're only committing to those 8 weeks, would you do it? Whatever you do after that, you have a get out of jail free card. But I'm asking everyone where possible to commit to something in those 8 weeks that we do that. To commit to being part of the prayer. If you can as well, we can talk to you more. We can explain how we do it. But I'd love to see this place packed out on those occasions so that we get to that right place. God wants us to walk in the light. And our final point, the light of Jesus reveals God's plan of salvation. I grew up in an environment where it seemed everyone was pointing the finger at you. Preachers were always condemning you. Preachers were telling you every time what you did wrong. And what they forgot is every time a preacher points a finger, there's three pointing back. Because we have to examine our own lives as well. We're not in a position to judge other people, are we? We don't know the motives. We don't know the intentions of their heart. Only God knows those things. So we can't judge. That's why we need God's grace. And that's why Jesus came. We have it on the wall. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, in the record talking about why Jesus came, it said you have to call him Jesus. Call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And sin isn't robbing a bank or murdering people only. It's not the big things that we think, oh yeah, they're really terrible. Sin in the Gospel of John is a refusal to believe in Jesus. Despite the evidence, remember what we said right at the start? John 12:44, even though they'd seen the signs, they refused to believe in Jesus. And so my challenge to you is to acknowledge that Jesus came for us. That he came so that we don't live a selfish life, so we don't live for our own, that we put him in the driving seat. Because so often we want to live lives our own way. And so in the Gospel of John, it talks about that refusal to believe that Jesus was who he said he was. In fact, John records at the end, right at the end, he says, Jesus did many more signs and many more things that if it were to be written, the whole world couldn't contain. John's using hyperbole to show that Jesus did so much more, and really, it's what would fit on a scroll at the time of Jesus. Jesus has given us enough evidence. In fact, Paul says, even looking at creation, God's eternal qualities are known by the creation that we see around us. We're not an accident. We're not a product of random molecules. God has created us. He's created us for a purpose. He's created us for a relationship. He's created us for eternal life, that we might know him. So what's next for each of us? Those of you who are regulars will know that I don't preach for information. I preach for transformation. I think God wants change in our lives. I think God wants us to walk in the light, whatever stage of the journey we're at. And so for some of you, the next step will be to make that first commitment to follow Jesus. To say yes to God. Maybe you've never done it before. Maybe some of what you're hearing today is new. Maybe you've been to church before, but you've never heard it explained like this. Maybe you need to say yes for the first time to God today. Would love to lead you in a prayer. Would love to talk to you. Would love to give you some literature that will help you say yes to Jesus for the first time. Please talk to us afterwards as we stay around for tea and coffee. For some of you, you'll need to commit to getting rid of the obstacles of the spiritual growth in your life. Maybe you felt stuck. Maybe you felt as if you've tread in water. Maybe there's stuff that God wants you to bring into the light so that you can get rid of them and walk in freedom with him. My challenge and my encouragement to you is to join us in the journey of becoming healthy. Healthy spiritually, healthy emotionally. Being engaged with those prayers so that we can get rid of everything that hinders our walk with God. That's part of what the Freedom is Night for, to commit to those emotional health. And guys, I really want to encourage you. As we've said, you have a get out of jail free card after the 8 weeks. But can you give me 8 weeks? On a Thursday night, as we meet here, can you give me 8 weeks, guys? Can you rearrange some of your schedule? Can you put off watching EastEnders for a while? Can you put off washing your hair in? Or blow dry it quickly or something? Come on, we make a joke, but this is serious stuff. This is important stuff. I really want to challenge you guys to commit to being in the right place. Can I tell you what? If you're married, your wife wants you to be in the right place with God. Your wife will love you if you're a godly leader. Your wife will follow you if you're a godly leader. Your wife will respect you if you're a man after God. Ladies, isn't that what you want? Thank you, Nikki. Any other ladies want godly men in their lives that they can respect and follow? Come on, guys. Let's do it. Here's a final quote before we finish our service together. God doesn't want you to number your failures or to count your accomplishments as much as He wants you to have an encounter with Him. That's the truth of the Christmas story. People encountering God. Shepherds, Mary, Joseph, yes, with all their mess, with all their brokenness, with all their uncertainty, with all their questions, with all their not knowing, they still had an encounter with God. We want you to have that encounter with God this Christmas, whether that's for the first time, whether that's for the 50th time, whatever you need to do, make sure you have an encounter with Him today. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the truth of Your word that says Jesus is the light of the world. Whatever stage we're at in our journey, whether we've never really considered these things, or whether we've been a follower of You for 50 years, Lord, I pray that You would help us walk in the light that we have. Help us to say yes to You. Help us today to have that encounter with You, to open up our lives to You, to open up our hearts, to really get to the truth of the Christmas message, that we might worship You. Lord Jesus, help us to say yes to You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.